Start with once a quarter. Once a quarter, you're going to plan a fun day, daddy day. I call them family board meetings, where I'm going to be one-on-one with each one of my children. Now you're like, oh, well, does that mean I don't spend time with them in between? No, of course not. But if they always know, there's something called the anticipation and then reflection. When there's that 90-day cadence, you know, every 3 months, a lot of the personal development guys use it for real statistical reasons. But if you're giving them a day every month, a half day to a day, I say a minimum of 4 hours where I plan a fun all-in day for whatever they want to do. And that's it.
Hey, welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life in Our Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo. On the Life in Our Show, we help people make more, work less, and live better. We're going to focus a lot on that last one here right now. I am joined on this episode by my co-host, Polish Peter. What's up, bro?
Hey, man. So good to be here and listen to this, but actually interview this particular guy.
Yeah, you're not listening to it, bro. You're part of it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I feel like I am just listening to it, you know. No, but on the serious side of things, man, it rings home what he's talking about and rings true home. I feel like I was, you know, the two parts to this, you know, what he's sharing in his life, the before and after. And I feel like there are some both parts on the, both sides of this spectrum. And I'm just so glad that somebody's out there who was doing those things and talking about it and helping people and humans and man to actually live their true life.
So what Peter's referring to is this episode, we have Jim Shields on, who is a successful real estate investor. He's an author. He focuses on not only being successful in business, but being successful at home and in your relationships as well, which, as you guys know, if you've listened to any episodes of this already, hopefully you listened to all of them. This is huge for us, right? Like, this is totally in alignment with what we teach and what we share, what we encourage people with. And so Jim has a successful business. He actually has several different businesses, mostly in the real estate niche, but he also has a mission-driven purpose, excuse me, to help people be successful in life too, not just one or the other. Like, this is the elusive thing that the entrepreneur is constantly struggling with. Like, how do you actually have both? So we get into some real tactics here, man. He shares some really, really simple, easy to implement things that I think will help everybody listening.
Yeah. So he talks about different principles that he's incorporating into his life to be able to have the true family life. And towards the end of the episode, I asked him about this question, because think about it this way. If you're a little entrepreneur, you're listening to this podcast, you're probably thinking that you're doing this for your family, for your wife, for your kids, or whatever it might be. And he shares his shift that happened, mindset shift that happened for him that transformed how he does it actually, because we don't want to have the wake-up call. And that is a great kind of a way of looking at it. So I would encourage you to listen to it. Break out the notepad, take notes, and actually take this stuff and incorporate it into your life, because it's going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah. Here it is now. Awesome interview with Jim Shields. Jim, what's up, man? Welcome back to the show. Like, this is awesome. We had a chance to connect here a couple weeks ago now, and yeah. I've been looking forward to this episode for a while, man.
Yeah, me too. It was great. I had a great chat last time. I was looking forward to being back.
Well, you know, for the listeners who aren't familiar with like the podcasts, like what we do is we do a pre podcast kind of discussion to make sure it's a good fit for the show. And like, I just totally connected with Jim. He has a lot of overlapping views, perspectives, beliefs. He's done a lot of amazing things in business, and he has this attitude of giving back. And so I had to get you on the show, man, and it went awesome. So tell me, man, like, let's give the audience let's catch them up to speed. Like, you've done a lot of things. Give us a summary of those things and why it's kind of led you in this direction of like really prioritizing the balance between life and business.
Yeah. So I started as a real estate investor 25 years ago, which sounds embarrassing to say.
So I mean, old, man.
No. Can you believe it? I hit the 5-0. It doesn't even sound.
Oh, dude. High five. Me too.
We should have just started saying that, like, I started investing when I was 7 years old.
That's it, right? I was six.
That's what you should have done.
Yeah, so I was 6 and a half. But yeah, it's been a great ride. And again, I didn't come from money. I inspired to be an entrepreneur because I had a goal when I was at that young 25. Man, if I can get my real estate in place, I can get to the good stuff. Because I saw too many people, including my parents and others, they couldn't really get to the good stuff, which was, you know, time with their family, giving to causes they cared about, providing the things that I didn't have as a kid. And so that's what the real estate was, the vehicle for me, and it had a tangibility. And so I, you know, went through the ranks of buying, fixing and selling houses, building rental portfolios in California, getting the heck out of there, coming to Florida and continuing that there, surviving the 08 meltdown, which was not fun, but was able to protect my investors and really reassess a lot of things with my own life. And then went into new construction. And it was about 10 years ago, gosh, even longer now, it was 13 years ago. It's when Steve Jobs died. And when Steve Jobs died, I got sent an article, and it really stuck me in my tracks, guys. It was like, and there is an article by Walter Isaacson, his biographer. And Walter Isaacson was interviewed by Time Magazine a few days after Steve passed away. And the article said Steve Jobs spent his final days surrounded by close family and used the opportunity for final interviews to explain to his wife and children why he wasn't there for them. Mm. And I was just like, man. Mm. And it went on to say that Steve was, and I always looked up to Steve Jobs. You know, of course, I knew the reputations of him being harsh and a jerk, but his business stuff and, you know, the things he was saying on his near deathbed. And Walter Isaacson asked him, he said, Steve, are you glad you had a family? Are you glad you had children? And he said, Steve didn't hesitate. He fired right back and said, man, it's 10,000 times better than anything I've ever done. And when I heard that, and while you got to remember, if you guys remember when Steve Jobs passed away, I mean, every newspaper, news network, it had the murals and the candlelight vigils and these incredible stories, but no one was really talking about this. And it really woke me up. I mean, I remember I was sitting in my home office reading that, and, you know, it changed a lot of things. And it was a time in my life I needed to hear that message. You know, it was 2011, and I had brought back my business from near extinction from the 08 meltdown, protected, but man, we still had scars and working through. So I'm working two real estate businesses. I was, you know, I had just adopted my two oldest sons and my wife. We now have five children, but we were in that pain of having miscarriages, which is really painful if your wives have ever through it. It's not fun. I had also been approved to donate a kidney to my father, which had just happened like the day before. That's not something I expected. It's a lot in my book and my story where I got hit at such a point of critical all at once with all those things. It just changed my curiosity, my commitment to family. And it made me realize, like, you know, I want to be a leader in my real estate industry, but I want to be famous at home. I don't want to be like Steve Jobs like that. You know, I look up to him in a lot of ways, but I really appreciate Steve Jobs. The fact he shared that message, I think, was like a golden thread that I needed to hear, because I could have gone down that same road. I mean, who was I that, because right there, sitting there that day, guys, if the rug had been pulled out of me, of my health, I would have been in the same position probably. I would have been doing final interviews to explain. And today that's different. And the good news is I don't think you need to give up your ambition to have this integration of success in business and success at home. You just have some principles and simple frameworks to work with and surround yourself with the right people. And it's very doable to have both. I don't think it's one or the other.
Mm. So talk to me about that, man, because, like, I think this is something that a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and investors, like, it's almost like a universal struggle where you have the allure and the seduction of business. And sometimes that's, you know, towards the riches and the success. And other times it's away from the fear of, like, what if, you know, you got mouths to feed and all the pressure that comes along with that. Like, how to, and I know we're gonna talk about tactics here in a minute too, but, like, I'm even curious about the upstream mindset that really has to accompany this change. Otherwise it's not gonna stick. Like, so why do you think people struggle with this so much? And how did you, like, this article clearly had a pivotal, you know, defining moment for you, but, like, how do more people have that moment?
You know, I think the tough thing is, Jason, they have to be hit to a point of critical. Something really, a health setback, a loss of a loved one, a divorce. You know, they have to hit a point of critical. They hit a point of critical that I'd like to see people avoid. I don't think that's necessary. I think you can leverage off of other people's stories before you hit the point of critical. But I think a lot of people, the way they wake up is they hit a point of critical. Or, you know what, I've interviewed thousands of entrepreneurs on this, and, you know, there's such a good nobility and intention of providing. But sometimes we end up taking ourselves completely out of family life, especially. And there starts to become this undertone of this like guilt, depression, and bitterness, because you're not really there when you're there, because you're always working through the next business problem still in your head in front of your family. And you're at this weird stage where you're like a part-time disciplinarian or a roommate or just an ATM machine, because you're just not involved in the family life. You've delegated yourself out or made yourself completely unavailable. You've used the business as the reason or the excuse, probably a little of both. And that's a very painful thing that a lot of entrepreneurs go through. And it's not easy to talk about. Look, we can talk about a deal that went bad or a marketing campaign that went bust, but to know that our family life's not going right, it's very uncomfortable to talk about. I mean,
yeah,
for any of us, including me.
Right. Right. Well, you know, like, I mean, it's, you know, there's so many factors here, and I asked that question because at the end of the day, like, I really 100% agree with you. You don't have to choose one or the other. And like, we're going to get into that, but I think the first step is really wrapping your head around this idea of like, hey, and I think of it almost like, you know, it's not a higher bar, it's a different bar. So maybe it's like, you know, it's not an either or, it's a both. And so, and actually I kind of play a game with myself here, because like, you know, and by the way, I am not saying business is easy at all, but if you work hard enough for long enough, you have any relative intelligence, you can probably make enough money for yourself. If you work, you know, and again, for some people it's more than others, but what if you could play a different game and make it fun and try to win it both instead of, you know, either or? Like, I don't think it has to be like a situation where Michael Jordan goes to play baseball and he gets crushed and he has to go back to basketball. I think you can have both. Like, you can be good in both sports. It's a sport, really, of life and business, of family, relationships, and making money. So, dude, I love that, man. So let's talk. And by the way, you don't just talk about this from a superficial level. Like, you've done a lot of work with this. You have 18. I want you to describe this. Tell people about 18 summers. And like, so this has become almost like a mission, it seems, for you.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's become an impact business that I didn't expect ever to take off. The book, if you guys told me when I read that article all the way back, right, and I was going to write a family book, I mean, me, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a family therapist, I'm a real estate investor. What is, you know, come on. And but all of a sudden we have a business book about family that hit number one on Wall Street Journal. And I would have never thought that. And the reason I say that is because it was so, it's my writing is not that great. I think it's pretty good. It's easy. It's a short book, but it's the message. And so I think that's where it got all of its attention, because there's so many places, guys, that you and I can go to figure out the next real estate technique, next marketing campaign, financial and tax strategies, but there's not much for our type of being to have a guidepost, to have a plan. Because we're wired very differently. Entrepreneurs, especially real estate entrepreneurs, are wired very differently. It's hard for them. It's easier for them to give full focus to their business, but then when they go home, to shut the business off and give full focus to their business, to their own health, to their own hobbies. And that's where the reason it's become a mission is I want to see us enjoy the ride, right? I don't want to see this. I mean, that R word, regret, is a terrible thing. And a friend of mine, Dan Martell, he wrote the book Buy Back Your Time. He's a big supporter of our book. He's the one who taught me the word integration. I've totally thrown balance out the window. It's gone. It's integrating the life, because balance is like, and I was never good in science, guys. But remember, you had the little cubes you put on one side and you have to get it's flying. Well, integration is more just a mixture where it's just stirring around together and it works. And that's what I try to do is talk to people about integration. You know, you can't sprint the whole way in business, and you probably can't just take off completely and be with your family to be able to provide the other things. So how can you integrate it? You know, how can you integrate like a day, a month, a week, a year? And that's what these principles try to do, but also dropping the old, I think we all have that old adage where, God, I want to be an entrepreneur, but man, that means I got to punch the clock right at 8 a.m. and I'm going to stay till 7 p.m. And it's going, well, yeah, what if you're doing half-ass stuff and it's not even the highest, best use, and you're feeling, well, I got to be able to say to my buddies, I put in 90 hours this week. It's very backwards. So there's some things we got to reverse out of us. I don't know if that's too much to
down. No, I love it, man.
I'm just down, you know, giving some ideas.
So listen, I'm curious, for me personally, you just said the word integration. What exactly does that mean? Can you give us an example? Like, how does that show up in your life?
So integration means I don't try to balance family and work, right? So where I sit right here, I don't want a big corner office. I want a little office in the corner of my yard. So I'm a partner in a large build-to-rent company about 45 minutes from here. I rarely go in. I work from here in my privacy, where I have a 5-second commute to the beach. I have a 3-second commute into my home. Just enough space for my dogs and my kids where, you know, I'm able to do this. So I save, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours a day where I'd be going back and forth. And that allows me to be with my kids, drop them off at school in the morning, come here. I had a sales meeting right before I spoke to you guys. I ran out there and I caught 7 waves and I came in. I didn't even get my hair wet because I wanted to make sure I was ready for the podcast.
How you do that? Now, dude, I gotta ask that. Like, what? You have like a little shower cap on your head? Is
no,
that what it is?
No. I was paddle surfing, and it's a really fun wave day. They're not too big, but really clean. So I just paddled out, caught a bunch, ran back, got cleaned up for you guys. You know, and then I have 2 podcasts, and then I'm doing lunch with my family, and then I need to go to a closing, and then I have another investor meeting this afternoon. And so, but I'm always trying to integrate. So I bring my family to events. They come with me to look at certain properties. I've tried to integrate it into my life where they're not like separate. I'll go. So here's a great example. My wife and I got married in Costa Rica. We love it. It's just a place we really enjoy to be, the people and the atmosphere and the adventure. I can now go and work from Costa Rica for 6 weeks. Now, the key word is I still work. I have a great shared office space, one of those like WeWork type things, but better than that. And I still am on the beach every morning and every evening with my family. I put in some hours during the day on key things I need to do. And I'm able to do that by the assignments I've taken on. This is something we need to talk about for sure. I could have never done that 5 years ago. But the way I've set myself up in my business, I can integrate where I'm still doing the highest and best for my business, but I'm able to be right where I want to be. So that's integration. I don't know if that makes sense. When it's on such opposite sides of the scale, man, that feels heavy and guilty and just impossible to keep that one little metric to that one little metric.
I love that, man. So I'm ready to dive in here with Dan. You've already shared some great stuff. Let's talk about some of these, you know, give us some of the tactics, some of the things you've learned to integrate life and business to really make these things something that like gel cohesively.
Okay. Yeah. The first thing that I would recommend is there is no perfect family. So entrepreneurs, yes, right? I know I hate to be the one to shock you, but we are, you know, annoying perfectionists sometimes, us entrepreneurs. We got to do this. We got to achieve this. Whoever made up that silly saying, the perfect family, did us no justice. It's not about perfection. It's about bridging imperfections, just enjoying the time you have together, because it is fleeting. You know, I've learned that, especially over the last 5 years, losing family members and just working with a lot of families. You know, things are fleeting. So take perfection off the table. That'd be my first step. Don't stop saying we're going to have the perfect family life. Man, that's going to take pressure off you, your spouse, your children, and you'll be able to actually enjoy and probably do better. We all know when we're going for that perfection, we're rigid, we're overbearing, we're you know, unrealistic. And so just take that out. That's the first step. And the second step is, you know, start with just a few principles, right? When you guys, I remember my first real estate mentor, what he said, he's like, everyone wants to build the Taj Mahal before they own a duplex. And it's, you know, and that's what we do. So I always say, start with a couple of things that have been proven to work And then, you know, treat it like an experiment. See how it goes. So I'll give a couple of those principles today that I think are a good starting point. And they can be integrated into two really powerful rhythms that hold together a lot of my family life at home. And that's what my book's about.
Yeah, let's hear it, man.
Yeah. So the first one is one of the most overlooked, yet simple and potent and effective strategies that I've ever found. I don't think it's discussed enough. I think it's been overlooked, but it works. And that is simply the one-to-one principle. If you don't, if you know anyone listening, they're like, ah, well, I'm going to cut out after this. That's fine. I'd rather you don't. And I know you guys would rather you don't. But if they get this one thing, this is a game changer. And now we have, you know, there's probably over 300,000 families using our strategies. And this is one of the biggest ones that really helped break them into a better family life. One-to-one time is something that rarely happens. It's very intentional. It puts the magnifying glass on the relationship in a positive light, takes away distractions, sibling rivalry, and it helps that individual relationship. And you got to separate the parts to strengthen the whole. There's so many people that I found, if they had just had some more one-on-one time with their spouse, with one of their children that they've had a lot of issue with. Normally what's been missing is one-on-one time. And this is something that if we don't give to our marriage, we don't give to each of our children. I don't know how many children if you guys have, but if you have multiple, then I've not met one person in probably 1,000 podcasts that say, oh, my kids are identical in all their likes and dislikes. No. So you gotta, none of us want that Jan Brady, right? The Marsha, middle child syndrome. I don't get any attention. So I found if you will just schedule one-on-one time with your spouse and each of your children, this is a game changer. This is when the deeper conversation can happen. The better understanding can happen. You know, I joke that I was, you know, raised in an Irish Catholic family. I had like 6,000 cousins. That's great. And these big get-togethers. But the conversations that really have stuck with like my oldest sons, who are now 18 and 20, came on these moments of one-to-one time. The things that have ignited, and I'll even say at some point salvaged my marriage with my wife, is this one-on-one time.
So I need a tip here, man, because like I see the value in what you're saying. Right now I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and my 6-year-old will not give up daddy time. And so like I'm trying to like peel away from her and spend time with a 3-year-old, and now I know Peter's waiting to make a joke like oh, they want time with you, but it's true, man. So,
well, that's probably because you act like a 3-year-old. So, I mean, that's why she wants to hang out with you.
So, man, I'm actually trying to work through that right now, because like I'm trying to split it. You know, you have one-on-one time with each, and it's sometimes difficult. You got any words of wisdom?
Well, yeah. So what the family board meeting is about, it's really about two rhythms. It's about what we've called the family board meeting, and then also the date night with a question, though. And this is something that is, man, just a little bit of fine tuning we've done has made a huge difference in our marriage and so many others. And we'll talk about that. But the premise of this is, Jason, start with once a quarter. Once a quarter, you're going to plan a fun day, daddy day. I call them family board meetings, where I'm going to be one-on-one with each one of my children. Now you're like, oh, well, does that mean I don't spend time with them in between? No, of course not. But if they always know, there's something called anticipation and then reflection. When there's that 90-day cadence, you know, every 3 months, a lot of the personal development guys use it for real statistical reasons. But if you're giving them a day every month, a half day to a day, I say a minimum of 4 hours, where I plan a fun all-in day for whatever they want to do. And that's it. One-on-one. We'll go over the next two principles that team up with this day. Now your 3-year-old knows, you know, it's happened. Whatever your 6-year-old wants to do, well, it's not his business, because it's your 3-year-old's day, and he gets to plan it, go all in, and he loves his sibling, but he's not going to be there. And so when you see this time, this is where this gives your three-year-old exactly what he wants, right? Otherwise, there's overshadowing, there's sibling rivalry. So just, and you're saying, is that enough? Look, we have people that have been doing this now 12 years, and they say this one day a quarter with each of their children, you know, we're talking a minimum of 4 hours, doesn't have to be a full day, but at least a half a day, is a game changer. And I think you'll start to see the defenses go down on your three-year-old that he's getting his own time. And it's that easy of a start. And you'll find the time in between this 90-day meeting that you have one-on-one with them, just having fun, to kind of bring the temperature down at the in-between times, if that makes sense. Providing this. And I always ask, I say, you know, how many of you had this with your parents? I didn't have that. I mean, I love my dad. He passed away 2 years ago at the age of almost 88. We never had that. I would have done anything to have those, you know, a half a day every quarter growing up from 3 to 18. That's huge. And that's what you asked me for, 18 summers. You know, I was given a stat years ago that the average person will spend almost 85% of the quality time they ever have with their children by the end of the 18th summer. And that makes sense when you think about it, because, you know, they're going off into college or the military or career, and I can tell you from my 7-year-old wants to hang out with me a lot more than my 18-year-old. And we have a great relationship, but he's got, you know, a business and a job and a girlfriend and hobbies and gym. And so that just happens. So you want to take advantage of that time. And these types of things, I think, give an anchoring to the relationship, because none of us want our kids to be 18, walk out the door, and they never want to come back. And there are actually articles and epidemics going on in the U.S. right now, where I forget how sad the stat was of kids over the age of 18 that don't talk to their parents anymore. They're like, no, they weren't really there for me. I got nothing for them. Now, there could be fault on both sides, of course, but man, I wanted to kind of hedge against that. And this one really helps that.
We'll get right back to our episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about an upcoming Get a Life getaway that we have in beautiful, beautiful Orlando, Florida, and it's November 7th through 9th, November 7th through 9th in Orlando, and you're going to want to be there because Peter and I are going to walk you through the exact steps to creating a life and a vision for your perfect life. This is a perfect illustration of how all of the pieces of your life will fit together to give you a life full of meaning, of fulfillment, of passion, so that you can really move forward in all cylinders and wake up excited every day for what you get to do versus what most people have to do, which is what they have to do, right? We don't want that for you. I want you to have a complete picture, a blueprint for your perfect life. And then we're also going to give you the action steps of how to make it a reality. This is not a pie in the sky approach to living. It is not burying our head in the sand and saying we have a great life when it is not. This is really concrete strategies. This is very tactical advice. It's things that you can actually implement in your life and move forward towards. We've been doing these events for a very, very long time. We help a lot of people, and I want you to be next. So again, those dates are November 7th through 9th in beautiful Orlando. There's a link below in the show notes, or go to lifeair.com where you'll see the list of upcoming events. Click on it, register, and I hope to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. Tell me about this family board meeting thing. Is this something you do weekly? And is it your whole family? Is it just you and your spouse?
Yes, like one-on-one. So I one-on-one time is divided into two things in our family. I will do a half a day, a quarter with each of my children. Yep. And then I do a weekly date night with my wife.
Okay.
This man, when, you know, I get to teach at some business insider groups, EO, YPO, and these are pretty, you know, I would say awake people, but I'll ask them, you know, when's the last time, what's the day and time every week you go on a date with your spouse? And less than 10% of the room will raise their hand. But if I ask the question, how often do you meet with your CFO? When do you meet with your marketing team? They have the day and the time. Wow. So that's, you know, that's the two things that I recommend, saying where I'm like, look, let's just start getting things moving in the right direction. If for the next year or even 6 months, you will dedicate a half a day to each of your children every 90 days and a date with your spouse once a week, it's amazing. It's not going to get you 100% of the way there, but it'll get you 80. Yeah. Literally, this quality time, you're setting the stage for connection, and it's a game changer. And life moves so fast that if you don't do this, right, we all go, 2024, October. Wait, it's October already? What the hell happened this year?
Right.
top three, he's five now all of a sudden, right? It's like this. So these things, one-on-one time, schedule one-on-one time, and I'll give you the principle too that absolutely makes this even more powerful. But do you guys remember, this is kind of corny, but do you remember the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man? Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie. And so Butch or Biff or whatever, the big guy and the bully's coming to punch him at the locker because he threw the plate of food on him. And if you remember, Peter is now like in spider sense, and he's so like aware, like everything's like slowed down. He sees the punch and he kind of looks at it, and he's just like so present that he sees ahead of everything. I found that having consistent one-on-one time with my family members, that's what I feel like. Like I got spidey sense again. Like I'm so attuned. I'm so there. I'm not distracted. And that's my second principle that brings you, well, how are you not distracted? You know, we coined a term at 18 Summers a few years ago called intermittent tech fasting.
Love it, man.
Intermittent tech fasting. So, you know, intermittent fasting, you guys look fit. You know, I've read a lot about it. It's supposedly great. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, but it, you know, weight maintenance, muscle, organ regeneration. It's you're not giving up eating. You're just choosing to eat between certain times. And it has benefit. I learned that, you know, the hard way with my wife trying to set dates and bringing my phone on it, you know, and taking a useless text, phone call, Facebook thread. I mean, you're talking terrible stuff to do with a beautiful woman you love right in front of you, or even with my children. If I try to spend the day with them and I'm constantly on my phone the whole time, am I really there? Are they really the priority? They're going to tell you no, because I've done a lot of interviews on this. So when I do these half days, guys, when I do these date nights, my phone is never invited. I'm on a tech fast. Call my wife. She's way better with her phone. You know, she's less jittery like I will be I get worked up. Let me check something. Let me check email or a text. So these days are very sacred to me. These half days, my phone's not invited. And my teens, their phone's not invited either. But I set the example. On date night, it's not there. And now we don't have those distractions. And that's super important for this. I'll tell you a quick story. My daughter's now 9. When she was 5 years old, I came home. And on these half days, I do a tech fest. On my date night, I do. Normally, when I come home from work, you know, if I'm working right from my office or I've gone somewhere, I come back, I'll leave my phone for like 2 hours in the car, somewhere not on me. And I came home and my daughter's like, "Dad, let's go on the trampoline." You know, we have a trampoline. And I'm like, "Sure." And so I'm getting on the trampoline, guys, and my phone, I left it in my pocket. I broke my own rule. And I'm getting on, I hear the zzz, 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 zzz. Now, you know, I don't even have to look at the phone as a real estate investor. My brain's already gone in 7 different directions. So I'm not on the trampoline anymore. And I pull it out, it's 5:35 or something. And someone screwed up something on a closing that was supposed to happen. You know, I'm like, this was so simple. And man, what I had, and there's nothing I could do. So I'm trying to solve it in my head. I'm swearing under my breath. And I finally come to, and I'm on the trampoline again. And I look down and my little 5-year-old daughter's looking up at me, and she's got the quiver lip and looking really sad. And I'm like, "Maggie, what's wrong? What's wrong?" Like, I'm thinking she hit herself in like to one of the poles or something. And she just said, "Daddy, why are you so mad at me?" And so I was like, oh my gosh. She's thinking I'm so in my head working through a real estate deal that I'm pissed off at, that I'm angry at her because I can't be in two places at once. And I'll tell you, I haven't been perfect from them, but I've been a lot better, because that really turned the knife in my back that day. And it shows we cannot be two places at once. You have to disconnect to reconnect. If you really want to have this integration, success in business and success at home, you have to have periods of time of complete and total unavailability. This bullshit of I'm on call all moments, all day. Well, then great. Then your family will never be priority. It just can't happen.
Wow. Man, there's some powerful stuff that you're sharing here with us, man. I really appreciate you, because it's, you know, just the fact that, you know, bears a reminder, right? To just to, you know, those principles, it helps us to kind of be present to our lives and integrate and things like that. I got a question for you to kind of like, you mentioned something in the beginning with that, you know, book and that article that you saw with Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know you personally, but looking at you and having conversation with you sounds to me like you have a really good man. You have a really good heart. So I would say that before that time, before that Steve Jobs, the business that you were doing, what was the reason for the business? Were you doing this for the family?
Yeah, isn't that what we all say?
You right.
know, yeah. So I was, like I said, you know, when I've talked to different mentors, therapists, like I'm always the poor kid looking to be a little less poor. You know,
right.
Something I continually work on. I didn't come from money. I watched my parents struggle. I watched them go broke. And so that affects you. And so I didn't want to be in that position. I want to be in the position to provide for my family and also be able to help others like my parents, you know, once I did it. So I'd say I was doing it for the family, but also there was a freedom aspect. Like I was in corporate America for 2 years, guys, and it was suffocating. Like to yeah. being able to just say that I just ran out and caught seven waves on my own decision, was back here taking care of an important conversation like this. I wanted to be able to do that. I wanted that freedom to do that. So there was a freedom thing, and then also wanting to be able to provide better than I was as a kid. I'd say those are two of my biggest drivers.
Yeah. So listen, because I have a follow-up question to this, I love what you're sharing, because the reason why I'm sharing, asking you this, because my wake-up call was my divorce.
Okay.
And that was the moment where I'm like, because before that, I was doing it for my family, the business and all that kind of stuff, but I wasn't really there. You know what I mean? And I think that's a lot of entrepreneurs that are going through it that way. There's the divorce. For you, it was the Steve Jobs thing. And now on the other side, you're operating in a different way. What do you think is the shift that happened for you that, you know, it's the same reason why we're doing this, let's say for the family to be able to do this, but there is some kind of an internal shift that happens in there. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the shift for you, well, and for me just in a different way, was something tremendous happens. You know, you had the divorce. So you're like, okay, I am now forced to really look at how do I want to do things differently moving forward? I made mistakes, but what can I fix moving forward? I, you know, almost going broke in 08, which was extremely stressful, protecting investors. How am I going to do this differently? You know, and you get put to a point of critical on something. I don't think you have to wait for that. What I do think people have to do, I always joke about this. There was always kids, you know, we were definitely young, wild kids where I grew up. And there was always the parent that would say, oh, not my kid. My kid wouldn't do that. And it was usually the kid that was the biggest, you know, derelict of everybody. And, and so I've gotten really good at saying, no, that could be me. Right. Because, and that was my wake up call, I think, with Steve Jobs. At first, like I told you guys, I was like, Steve Jobs, he had a reputation for being a jerk. That wasn't me. And I really caught myself and I was like, no, that could be me. Like when everyone says, oh, I only have a few social drinks, I a few times a week, I can't be an alcoholic. I'm always like, no, that could be me. I got alcoholism all over my family. That could be me. You know, oh, I won't get sick early. I'm gonna, no, that could be me. I eat like shit and do all this and that could be me. So I think the mind shift for me, honestly, Peter, was realizing that could be me. And then there was other things of great magnitude, like donating the kidney to my father. A piece of my body was taken out and given to him, and something changed in me there. I don't recommend anyone do that that doesn't have to. But for me, it was that. It was just realizing, yes, this could be me. What happened to Steve Jobs could definitely happen to me. And then I had a major thing like miscarriages with my wife and donating the kidney to my father all happened at once, that you just can't look at life the same way. Like I look at you and you're very sincere going, there's no way I could look at life the same way. I'm older and wiser and more experienced, and I got some scars to prove it now. And you're a different person, and you can either become a better person, which obviously you have, or you can let it spiral you down. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It totally makes sense, man. So I love it. So that it could be me, because I think what ended up happening for you is before that, you're like, that's not going to be me. You know what I mean? That's not going to be me. Now that could be me. And it's a big shift for me personally, because I feel like the reason why I asked this question, because I feel like there's listeners on there who are entrepreneurs who are thinking, you know, that's not going to be me. Or they're thinking, I'm doing it for the family. You know, I'm running the business, I'm doing this for the family. But there is this kind of like I want to say like these rosy glasses because I had those. And for me, it was, I literally, the wake up call was the divorce. And I actually look at my schedule and I'm like, where am I spending my time? Yeah. And I've realized that I was spending my time more in my business than I was doing with my family. So, exactly. Those are the realizations. And I love that you said that, that could be me, because now it's like you are there to protect that family and that 18 summers. And I love that 18 summers, by the way, man. That's such a cool thing. So, yeah, I'm done, man. Vojo, you got anything else?
No, that's awesome, man. Jim, where you shared some real gold here, man. Where do people learn more about what you're doing, 18 summers, and to dive into this deeper?
Yeah, I mean, you can find our book at Barnes & Noble's or on Amazon, The Family Board Meeting. It's a great, easy read, so you can learn about us from that. And also, you can go to 18summers.com. You have some free downloads there to kind of help deepen a little bit of what we talked about today and see where I'm going to be in a couple of the speaking and consulting things that we do for other people.
Love it. Thanks for being on the show, man.
No, appreciate it, guys.
Bro, that was an awesome episode. But the thing I'm impressed with the most is that he went surfing for 7 waves and did his get his hair wet. Dude, you can't even wash your hands without getting your hair wet.
I think he was wearing a shower cap. That's all I think, you know.
Could have been, right? Listen, I like this episode, the direction it went, because it's so relevant. And listen, man, nothing he suggested was off the wall, impossible, impractical, unrealistic. Like, it was all very simple things. Now, simple is not always easy, as we know this, right? Because mm-hmm. like, how many people know how to get in shape, but they're not. And so I love that he talked about some really simple things that we can do to enhance the quality of our life that really will help our relationships.
Yeah, I mean, the simple things of just not bringing the phone, you know, who would have ever thunk? Something so simple like that. Don't bring the phone on the, you know, I'm just thinking about it, like going out to dinner with my wife, just leave the phone behind. I mean, yeah. There's one person that communicates. I mean, yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that. It's kind of simple little things.
Dude, it's so weird though. Like, so Elena, my wife, is really good at this. Like, she just won't, like, we'll be at the pool and she just won't even bring her phone with us. And I, for some reason, man, like, I'm getting better at this, but I still kind of feel a little bit naked. Like, it's not that I'm expecting anything important. Like, it's just a habit. Like, I'm not, like, and listen, if I get a call and someone's dying, well, I'm not the person to call anyway. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing I can do. So it's so interesting how, like, I know this really isn't important, but yet it almost feels like, I almost feel like literally like, what am I forgetting? Like, if I don't have my phone, it's super awkward. So like, I've just made this part of, like, now we are good in our family with, like, you know, cutting off phone hours, like in the evenings when my girls are home, like, I'm not getting on the phone and stuff. And in the morning before they go to school, we're not on the phones, but like, it is something it's such a simple thing, but it's so true. Like, it's so easy to be present when I think it's just such a distraction, right? Like, whenever you're bored for like 2 seconds, you pick up your phone and like, oh, I'm going to check social media. I'm going to check my emails. And like, it's just not productive to having the life you want and giving focus to that moment that you want to be present in.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that story was talking about Steve Jobs, you know, me, because that's one of the things that he's on his deadbed. Think about it this way, on his deadbed, he's talking about his family, about him, right? Yeah. That's finally when they get to know him, the true real Steve Jobs, because he, you know, wasn't able to do it. Granted, he did some amazing things for the humanity, you know, but at the same time, you know, what has happened for him in his life. The other thing that I love what he was sharing about on these, you know, half dates, half that day dates kind of thing, right? When you go take your spouse or your kid for half a day and you just totally dedicate to the one kid. I will tell you this, man, if you are listening on this episode and you are thinking that, look, this thing is impossible, how do I do half a day? Start with an hour, complete dedicated time with an hour, 2 hours, whatever, and work your way up there. It doesn't have to be this, you know, one, like, if I can't do 4 hours, forget it, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? Start with 1 hour. The other aspect I think the intention behind this, which he didn't mention it, is that when you know that you're going to have to do that, right? When you know that you're going, you got the plan, dating your wife, you have the date night, or you have that date with your kid or whatever the case may be, you will need to get more intentional with what you're doing in your business. I think it's like this, you know, benefit that you get out of this, because remember, we talk about the events all the time. between 10 and 3:30, right? I work like my hair is on fire because I know that gym time and the family time is after that. And when my kids were younger, I'll have to pick them up and drop them off from school. I love doing that. So the thing is, it forces you outside of that time to be able to actually focus on those things so you get your stuff done, because otherwise you're not going to get your stuff done. You have those markers. And I think that is the coolest thing. You know, think about it this way. Like, I don't have that with my dad. So that is such a huge thing. And again, very simple thing. Just incorporate it into your life. And asking them, what do they want to do? You know what I mean?
Not just do what you want to do. Yeah, don't drag him around for errands all day. Go to Home Depot with him and like pick up stuff. Yeah.
Well, unless the kid wants to go to Home Depot and look at tools or something. I don't know. But you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and let's back up though for a second to the Steve Jobs thing, man, because here's something that like, and this is an individual choice to make. Like, and I'm not saying, by the way, for every one Steve Jobs, there's 5 million other business owners who sacrifice their life and don't accomplish anything even close to the significance that Steve Jobs has. But this is where like, you got to consult your vision. Like if you truly, and by the way, I am not here to say what's right or what's wrong, because I'm not going to influence anybody. Certainly I will never shy away from, you know, my personal perspective. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to be the most successful person in business and you don't care about everything else, which by the way, I'd strongly encourage you to reconsider that, because, you know, longitudinal studies have repeatedly shown, research has proven, like people that have relationships and that have personal lives are much happier. They live longer, they're healthier. But if that's truly what you want to do, like, okay. But I don't think you have to. Like, I really believe you can have both. Now, maybe there are some physical limitations to that. You know, there are only so many hours in the day. There's only so many staff members you can have. I don't think you're going to, you know, be a Fortune, you know, 500 CEO and work, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day. But like, you know, just decide for yourself what you want and what you value. You know, this is why we're so, I mean, you guys have heard us like offer and pitch and talk about the Get a Life Getaway so many times, because this is the event where people can really discover that for themselves. This is where people can really dive into what they want, right? Not what other people, you know, say they should want, not what they think they should want, not just what like society says they should want. And so this is really important for people to discover that for themselves. I think one-on-one time is huge. You know, my wife and I do take weekly date nights. Sometimes it's not a date night. Sometimes it's a date lunch when the girls are at school, but like we're certainly spending a lot of one-on-one time together. And admittedly, it makes it a little bit easier because we both work out of the house. And so it's a really easy, we'll work out together at the gym, things like that. You know, she'll kick my butt, of course, as usual, but that's fine. I can take it. But like, that's important. Time with your kids is important. I'll tell you, man.
What about the time with your best friend? I mean, I'm still waiting for that.
Well, he's now. I mean, yeah, he's with his wife all the time now. I don't know. I got kicked aside. I got kicked to the curb. So like,
okay, you got a valid point.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, and time with the kids, dude, super important. Like, you know, I got two girls. Well, I got 3 girls total, but one's 3, one's 6, and dude, it's like there's something different. Like my oldest daughter kind of, I don't want to say got a raw deal because we're very close, we have a great relationship, but she did not get the same amount of attention that my younger ones do. It's simply because I'm in a different headspace now than I was, you know, 20 years ago. And so like, it's just every moment is so precious, dude. Like I was looking at my 3-year-old today, and we're like, I ran in there when I heard her wake up, and I ran in there and jumped in her bed, and I'm just looking at her, and she's like,
she
bounced bigger
off to the ceiling when you jumped in.
Right. She like, yeah, I went flying. She's bigger. And I'm like, oh my, she's like, I literally think she's bigger than she was yesterday. And so like, it just happened so fast. Mm-hmm. And like, what is the work is going to be there, man. The work will always be there. The work will never go away. And trust me, you're never going to catch up either. Let's just put that out there now. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just so important. It's just so important. So I love what Jim was sharing.
Yeah, I think like you mentioned about the vision, it is so important. I mean, we keep putting it out there because it is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself and your family, to write in the vision. Whether you come to our events or you just sit down, but dedicated time that you sit down and write that vision, that's not based on current circumstances. You just really dive in. I mean, we do it for full 3 days to help you write that vision. If you just do that, sit down and dedicate that time, it could be, it will be one of the most impactful things that you can do for yourself and your family.
Yep. Yep. Totally, man. And listen, do you have to do some things in your business differently to open up that time for you? Yes, of course. And that's what we teach the Business Builder Workshop. But, you know, this is absolutely possible. Well, listen, I hope you all got something out of this episode. I hope you do something with it. Really, like, just start somewhere. Like, maybe it's 30 minutes without your phone. If you can start there. Maybe it's, you know, like Peter mentioned, an hour with your spouse. Maybe it's not even a date night yet. Maybe it's just a sitting down on the couch together after the kids go to bed for 10 minutes and connecting. Like, whatever it is, just start small. Like, all successes start from the small stuff. Like, you know, sometimes we compare ourselves to people that are taking weekly date nights or spending a half day with their kid every week or every other week. You know what I mean? And so just start somewhere, because this stuff will have an impact. It will make a difference for you. And the relationships and the life you're looking for is on the other side of that. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review, leave us a rating, give us a thumbs up, share this with somebody. This is how together you and I and Peter and Life in Air share this message of a life-giving, life-promoting philosophy that we can empower other people with. We will see you next week, everyone. Take care.